stopped him. Benson was most dangerous to those who didn't recognize the lethal nature of his illness. He decided to take a quick look inside the hangar to make sure Benson was inside. The hangar was an enormous structure, but didn't seem to have any doors, except for the giant doors to admit the airplane. They were now closed. How did you get in? He scanned the exterior of the building, which was mostly corrugated steel. Then he saw a normal-sized door to the far left. He got back in his car and drove up to it, parked, and entered the hangar. It was pitch black inside, and totally silent. He stood by the door for a moment, then heard a low groan. He ran his hands along the walls, feeling for a light switch. He touched a steel box, felt it carefully. There were several large, heavy-duty switches. One by one, the overhead lights came on, very bright and very high. He saw in the center of the hangar a giant plane, glinting with reflections from the overhead bulbs. It was odd how much more enormous it seemed inside a building. He walked toward it, away from the door. He heard another groan. At first, he could not determine where it was coming from. There was no one in sight. The floor was bare. But there was a ladder near the far wing. He walked beneath the high, sleek tail assembly toward the ladder. The hangar smelled of gasoline and grease, sharp smells. It was warm. Another groan. He walked faster, his footsteps echoing in the cavernous hangar space. The groan seemed to be coming from somewhere inside the airplane. How did you get inside? It was an odd thought. He'd made dozens of airplane trips. You always got on by a ramp near the cockpit. But here, in the hangar, the plane was so damned enormous. How could you possibly get inside? He passed the two jet engines of the near wing. They were giant cylinders, black turbine blades inside. Funny, the engines had never seemed so big before. Probably never noticed. There was still another groan. He reached the ladder and climbed up. 6 feet in the air, he came to the wing, a gleaming expanse of paper, nubbled with rivets. A sign said, "Step here." There were drops of blood by the sign. He looked across the wing and saw a man covered with blood lying on his back. Morris moved closer and saw that the man's face was horribly mangled and his arm was twisted back at a grotesquely unnatural angle. He heard a noise behind him. He spun. And then suddenly, all the lights in the hangar went out. Morris froze. A sense of total disorientation, of being suspended in air in vast and limitless blackness. He did not move. He held his breath. He waited. The injured man groaned again. There was no other sound. Morris knelt down, not really knowing why. Somehow he felt safer being close to the metal surface of the wing. He was not conscious of being afraid, just badly confused. Then he heard a soft laugh, and he began to be afraid. "Benson?" There was no reply. "Benson, are you there?" No reply, but footsteps moving across the concrete floor, steady